Professor of Medicine and Director of the MDS Center at Columbia University, an AML expert. I'll be speaking in Denver, Colorado tonight at East High School. Check our website. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much.
This is KBOO Portland. The time now is 8 o'clock.
KBOO Community Radio, a proud co-sponsor of Deconstruction, an evening of Japanese food and culture on Sunday, March 17th from 6 to 9 p.m. at Two Strokes Coffee Company in Portland. Deconstruction is an educational evening of Japanese food and culture benefiting the California Wildlife Relief Fund. The event features Yuri Baxter Neal, Yuhet Sato, Megan Dinto, and a traditional kasiki meal. It will not be vegan or vegetarian friendly. Again, that's Deconstruction, an evening of Japanese food and culture on Sunday, March 17th from 6 to 9 p.m. at Two Strokes Coffee Company, 8926 North Lombard Street in Portland. This is a 21 and over event. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282 BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM, and on the web at kboo.fm. Coming up this morning on KBOO at 9, Veterans Voice Radio deals with matters of war and peace, health issues, and the after effect of war. At 10, Arab Voices speaks with Abed Ayoub about the recent and historic resolution voted on condemning anti-Muslim bigotry. At 11, Radio Zine talks to artistic duo Emotional Dot Store about their upcoming performance titled 100-Year Plan. Then at 11:30, Making Contact presents a documentary about San Francisco where we hear about a landmark education case and what is and isn't working for black students with special needs today. All of this KBOO programming is made possible by member support. To become a member, go to kboo.fm and click on the button marked Donate. And now it's time for Positively Revolting.
What would you have instead?
This is it.
And you are listening to KBOO, your community radio station, KBOO Portland. The time is 3 minutes after 8 o'clock in the morning, and you are listening to Positively Revolting. I'm Ani, and welcome back once again for what I hope is an invigorating discussion. Today, we are going to be talking about the continuing war on women, because there's just really never enough time to talk about the truths of our lives. And that's what I'm hoping that today can be. Please, good people, femme-identified beings who are listening, get ready to call, because we are really hoping that you will call in this morning and share your truths, because we know that it takes a lot of truth-telling to actually smash the patriarchy. And we know that fictions like the patriarchy can only be upheld in our silence, right? That it is time to live our lives and live them out loud, and to, in fact, decry the lie that everything is fine, that we're okay, that, in fact, we've already achieved enough egalitarianism. You don't want to take things too far. You know, we're here to say malarkey to all that. Call on in with your stories, with your truths. And the number to call is 503-231-8187. Because near as I can figure, telling our truths is how we get ahead. We listen to each other, we affirm each other, and we move forward with our stories and our lives. Because, you know, we're supposed to live those lives in silence. And I say, no, no more. What do I mean by those lives? I mean those quiet lives where, you know, we know things aren't quite right, but we don't want to make a fuss. We don't want to make a scene. We don't want to make other people uncomfortable. We don't want to embarrass our mothers or our sisters or, heaven forfend, our daughters. We are always looking to make sure that we are socially acceptable. After all, those aren't the lives that I'm talking about, right? We need to be ourselves, to be true to our authentic selves, to live life according to our own lights, regardless of what our mothers, our sisters, our daughters may say, and certainly regardless of what men in our lives may say. So I want to talk for a moment about Diana Alejandra Keel. Diana Alejandra Keel is a woman who is living in North Carolina. Her body was found yesterday. Her body was found, it was a week after her 18-year-old daughter reported her missing. She lived in North Carolina with her two kids, her 18-year-old daughter and 10-year-old son, and her husband. Her husband is a person of interest in this murder. His first wife died of head injuries after falling downstairs in their house while he was at home, but that death was just ruled as accidental. No one ever looked into it more closely. Yeah, well, maybe they should have. Diana Alejandra Keel moved to the U.S. from Colombia. Her cousin said that she moved to the U.S. to pursue the American dream. Unfortunately, like so many other women, Diana was murdered. And at least initially, the main suspect appears to be her husband. So you should know that of the 87,000 women who were intentionally killed in 2017, that's right, 87,000 women who were intentionally killed in 2017 around the world, more than half of them, that is 50,000, that is about 58%, were killed by intimate partners or family members. That means that about 137 women around the world are killed every day by a member of their own family. More than a third of those women, 30,000, were actually killed by their current or former intimate partner. In 2015, National Youth Risk Behavior Survey in the U.S., said that about 12% of high school girls who dated or went out with somebody during the previous 12 months reported that they had been physically hurt on purpose by someone that they were dating or that they were going out with, compared to 7% of high school boys. Nearly 16% of the girls reported that they had been forced to do sexual things that they did not want to do by somebody that they were dating or going out with, compared to 5% of the high school boys. In a majority of countries with available data, less than 40% of women who experience violence seek help of any sort. Among women who do, most look to family and friends, and very few look to formal institutions and mechanisms such as police and health services. Less than 10% of those women seeking help for experiences of violence sought help by actually talking with the police. There is so much more to talk about. There is so much more, and I'll get back to that. But first, let's go ahead and hear from Edie. Again, the number to call to share your truths this morning. Call on in with truths to smash the patriarchy by. Call in 503-231-8187. Good morning, Edie. You're on the air.
Thank you so much for your caring and to dare to share something that is so disturbing. We must act on and not discount, intellectualize, or avoid. So thank you so much.
Yeah.
I first heard your comment, and I was thinking about the war on women, the stereotypes about womanhood, and how it's much deeper. But I also want to call out the city of Portland to go after our, do much more to protect the women and the children who have been attacked. I had a 3-year-old foster child that had been in 16 placements before age 3 3/4, raped multiple times by multiple people in each of those, and that was after being raped multiple times by different family members for the foster care system. And one of the fellow foster parents was holding a baby, and when the man came in the room, the baby leaped and screamed. The baby could know that this was the person that was raping. And I have a dearly beloved that was 5 years old, was raped, and we still don't have the results from the rape kit of 25 years ago, or about. So there's that, and missing and murdered women, Native women. My mother was murdered because of racism against Modocs and Klamaths. And it's systemic that there are things in working conditions, housing, pollution dumps in the poor areas and First Nations areas that are endangering the lives of women. And we have federal laws that don't even allow us to prosecute, investigate, or sentence those who commit violent crimes against Natives on Native lands if they're non-Natives. Like, whites go there frequently, knowing they'll be. And the cruise companies where rape is prevalent because it's not any nation's jurisdiction.
Right.
But in addition to the physical stuff, usually sexually related, and as we know, during the burning times in Europe, was also to take property and to control the minds of folks, that rape and terrorism is a way to oppress First Nations and Blacks, you know, for the patriarchy or around the world to get conflict minerals. But also, we have to stand strong to not let... When I was abused every day throughout my childhood, I just had this fierce mental thought that I will not let you kill me. I will not let you kill my soul. I will not let you turn me into an abuser. Or the most evil to me were those who were safe, stood by, saw it, and did nothing to prevent it, to stop it, to intervene, or to comfort, or to tattle afterwards. And I also want us to stand firm that I will not let you kill what we stereotype wrongly as the feminine that is in each and every one of us. I've never bought into the binary. I don't know that I could call myself one. I just don't like that. But we have to love and cherish and protect and nurture and hold up high, whether we're labeled trans, male, bi, asexual, female, whatever it is, that we see that we're all connected with spirit and nature and other living beings, our ancestors and our future generations, that we see that interconnectivity, that we are standing up for love, and we are standing up for that courage that makes us lift, you know, trucks off of our loved ones,
yeah,
or go through burning buildings. We have to stand up for that, for that creativity that doesn't just,
yeah,
look at a binary yes no, but to see yes and the complexity. And instead of us having a patriarchy or a white supremacy that resulted in these killings in New Zealand, where we're saying that there is a right way and a wrong way, my way is the right way, we have to be able to see that we are guilty of, if you want to say guilt, of everything that we criticize and condemn in others.
Okay.
And we can find that in ourselves.
Sure. But really, to just sort of try to keep the show a little more focused on the fact that, you know, there are horrendous crimes being perpetrated against femme-identified people. There is, in fact, the existence of the patriarchy, and that its existence attempts to silence us. It gives us double blinds in which to live impossible lives. And I really appreciate your call this morning, Edie. All struggle is the same struggle as Maura and I used to say when we would occasionally do some programs together. But in order to start really making headway, we gotta separate the struggles out a little bit, because we gotta do one thing at a time, even though all things have to be done, right? Gets a little overwhelming sometimes. I want to throw out that number one more time, and that number is 503-231-8187, the number to call so you too can share your truth, share your story. I want to invite you to follow Positively Revolting on Facebook. You can like us on Facebook. You can also follow us in the Twitterverse. You can find us on Twitter at Positive Revolt. And here's the thing. So while I was pulling up information about this show, when I was doing some preliminary research, I decided I would look for what's happening right now. And I put in the words missing woman into a search engine. And I found not only the story of Diana Alejandra Keel, whose body was found just yesterday, but I found the story of many other women as well, right? Like the story of Andrine McDonald in San Antonio. She's missing. She's presumed dead. And her husband is being held as a suspect. McDonald used to tell all of her friends that if she ever went missing, it would be because her husband killed her. So when she didn't show up for her usual routine at the gym and her work, her friends went to check on her and found that they could walk into the back of the house where they found blood on a light switch, where they looked for their friend, where they went and they got their friend's mother and brought her back to the house. And eventually they called the sheriff, but because they knew their friend, they already had a pretty firm idea of what had happened to her, because she was upfront about her risks. And she knew that she was living in a situation with a man who she suspected may try to kill her. You know, last night, my housemate asked me what I'd be talking about on the show this morning. And I said, I was going to go ahead and talk about that ongoing war against women. It's a subject that never seems to get retired. It's a subject that most unfortunately doesn't seem to grow old or out of date. It's always relevant. And she said, oh, God, yes, I really don't want to see that dude with all the scratches all over him again. And another housemate joined in, was like, oh, yeah, that is just a gnarly story. And I'm sitting there in the dark. And I said, I have no idea what either of you are talking about. Apparently, I've missed something. And they said, oh, yeah, well, there's an officer that's been charged with rape. And there's pictures in social media where he's covered in scratches because the woman fought back. And I thought, okay, well, I'll just enter that as some search terms, officer charged with rape. And again, strangely, that did not pull up the story they were talking about anytime soon. That was actually a corrections officer was the story they were talking about. But, you know, I also got to find many stories of police officers being charged with rape. And we've heard those stories before, and we know that they exist. And it's not uncommon. And then we are asked why we don't report sexual assaults to police, and why we don't prosecute assaulters through the court system as if we expect to be believed or heard or understood, as if we don't expect to be victimized again. Call in with your story. Call in and live your truth out loud. Call us. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. I'm Ani. You're listening to Positively Revolting. We're talking about the war on women this morning. And I want to hear from you. I want to know what your life is like. I want to know not only around the issues of violence and sexual assault, also around reproductive health and reproductive justice, around economic justice, around heterosexism, around cissexism, around transphobia and homophobia. I want to hear the good stuff too, right? What are our lives like as women? Let's take some stock. We are here the second week of March, that month put aside to be Women's History. International Women's Day, of course, being last Friday. I really think, again, another week looking at the truths of our lives and how we live them, what we are silent about, what we are no longer willing to be silent about, and how we're changing the world for the next generation and the one after that. That's what I want to hear. I want to hear from you today at 503-231-8187. Call on in and share your truth. I'm also going to let you know that coming up at 9 o'clock today on Veterans Voice, Marv will be dealing with matters of war and peace, health issues, and the after effects of wars. At 10 o'clock, Arab Voices speaks with Abed Ayoub about the recent and historic resolution voted on condemning anti-Muslim bigotry. At 11 o'clock, Radio Zine talks with the artistic duo Emotional.store about their upcoming performance titled 100 Year Plan. And at 11:30, Making Contact presents a documentary from San Francisco where we hear about a landmark education case and what it is and isn't working, what is and isn't working for Black students with special needs today. All of this KABU programming is made possible by the support of our members. If you are not yet a member, you can take care of that rather embarrassing situation. Just go right now to kboo.fm and click on the button that is marked Donate. You too can be a member, a paying member of KABU. You can support independent media. I hope that you do. 503-231-8187, the number to call, so you too can share in your truth. You know, as we are here living in this time, it is just always, it's a surprising thing to me that we can, in fact, have so much advancement, that we can seem to think that we've come so far, and yet we really haven't, is the thing. That still we live in a world that catches women in so many double blinds, in so many catch-22 situations, that we have always to worry about. You know, we still are looking at the virgin whore dichotomy, which just gobsmacks me, right? When I was growing up in the 70s and I first heard about this sort of dichotomy, you know, you could either be a good girl or a bad girl. I mean, we know it by many names. And by the time I was, you know, getting out of middle school, I thought, well, that's really tired, obviously. Obviously, women can, you know, we don't have to wait until we're married. Obviously, we, you know, our worth is not connected to our virginity. Obviously. And yet, what do we see still? We still see the aspects of rape culture that tell us that our behavior is entirely questionable, that if we are attacked, immediately we are asked what we were doing to bring it on. Immediately our dress is scrutinized. This is not okay. Well, we live in a world where marketing controls and commodifies our sexuality. We are scorned for living in the world as sexual beings. How does that make any sense? It only makes sense for capitalists that want to exploit it and market. You know, that's really the only place. So again, here to live our lives out loud with each other. Speaking out against rape culture, speaking out against those injustices in our lives. And let's actually look at rape culture, because so often we don't actually see it because we're immersed in it, right? Rape culture tells women not to walk alone at night. Rape culture asks a woman who has survived a rape if she was intoxicated or if she'd had a prior relationship with the rapist. Rape culture asks the woman if she fought back, and it judges her if she did or if she didn't. She obviously didn't fight back effectively, and maybe she fought back too hard. She might not have been hurt so badly if she hadn't fought back at all. There is just absolutely no winning. Rape culture tells us to teach women that self-defense is the way to stop rape. It does not tell us that men need to talk with men to recognize what rape is and to stop it themselves. Rape culture enforces the patriarchy by underscoring traditional gender roles and invoking rape as a punishment if women step out of line. Rape culture depends on the silence of women, and it depends on the complicity of men for its continuance. So it's really clear that men have a pretty significant role in ending rape, like by not raping, also by talking to their friends, their colleagues, their sons, their brothers, their fathers about what rape is, about what consent is, and calling for its end. It is, in fact, high time that women stop being looked at to end rape. You know, so in that truth-telling way, I'll go ahead and say it. I think it's important that we understand our truths when I hear from folks that we just need to get better at self-defense, that all women need to be armed in some way, and that this is how we stop sexual assaults, this is how we stop rape. Well, our first caller mentioned children that are being hurt or abused or sexually assaulted or raped. I know that for myself, I was molested, I was assaulted by my grandfather when I was 4. What kind of weapon do you want a 4-year-old to be adroit at handling? What kind of world do we want to live in where we tell toddlers that they are responsible for their own safety? you know, the world that tells toddlers that is a world in denial, because that world does not recognize the fact that most of this violence comes from family members, right? The second time I was assaulted, I was with a really good friend. We went to lunch. We went to his place to hang out. He was going to play his clarinet. I really like clarinets. You know, I liked hanging out with him. He was a friend. And I was pretty savvy. I was pretty wise on the street. I often carried a knife or kind of a large walking stick, because, you know, I knew how to use a large walking stick. I was always kind of fascinated with medieval fighting and am damn good with a quarterstaff, as it turns out. But I wasn't necessarily thinking I would need to be heavily armed. I was hanging out with my friend. So you could say my guard was down. So you could say, yeah, I was not expecting to be date raped on that day in 1983. Again, did I tell anyone? No, I didn't. I didn't tell my parents, who actually already forbid me from hanging out with anyone unsupervised. After all, I was 17. I needed a chaperone pretty much any time of the day, right? I didn't tell my parents. I didn't tell the police. I told a couple of friends. And that was about that. And that is, you know, why? Because I didn't want to upset people. Because actually, I didn't want to upset people is pretty much the truth of it. I didn't want to hurt this guy's reputation, right? He was really popular, probably more popular than I was. And so if I said bad things about him, what does that say about me? I could sort of see people moving away from me on the Group W bench, right? And so these are the quiet, you know, silences of our lives. These are the things that keep us small and keep us disempowered. And when we speak them out loud and we hear them echoed in the voice of our friends, and we understand that our experiences are actually not so isolating, but in fact, we can connect to each other because we're all thinking we're alone over here. It's important. It's important to take that moment and to connect. And let's go ahead and do that. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. And Franny, good morning to you. You're on the air.
Good morning. First, good morning. Thanks for speaking your truth and for having this as the topic. I wanted to call in with a kind of a good story.
Cool.
Actually, so I was at a dinner last night, and a 14-year-old boy was explaining feminism very articulately and with great understanding to a 50-year-old man who just didn't get it. And, you know, the 50-year-old man was like, well, you know, he sort of used the same excuse that a lot of men, well, I don't know, my wife says that I should hold the door open for her. And I was like, step out of your own reality. But I was also like, we're not going to... Like, I'm not going to explain this to you. I'm glad a 14-year-old boy is explaining it to you. Mm-hmm. I don't think the 50-year-old man got it, but I was so proud of the boy, you know, and he's a cool kid, and everything he was saying was completely on the money, and
that's fantastic.
That's a patriarchal term, on the money, so it was completely on the environment, you know what I mean?
Right.
So that's a good, so that's a positive thing, and I just wanted to share that and just say I'm so proud of that kid and so
yeah.
Glad to know him. So.
That's really fantastic. Thanks, Franny, for calling in with that.
You are welcome.
Take care.
You too.
503-231-8187 is the number to call. You know, I am thinking in so many ways the next generation, the teens of today, the kids of today, and the ones not quite born yet, you know, the up and coming, have a lot. We've advanced. We have, I do believe, made progress in the in this in this way. And I believe that gender identity, feminism, consent, all of these things we have made headway on in the last 5 years, and we are going to be seeing that in the next generations. But it's all so glacially slow. I am so very thankful for that 14-year-old boy. Unfortunately, there are still way too many of the 50-year-old men that don't get it. And it's a glacial pace for those that don't understand it yet. A glacial pace. 503-231-8187, the number to call. I'm going to mention the Violence Against Women Act. I was looking for a way to bring this in, and well, it seems like a good way to do it. The Violence Against Women Act, it ran out, it expired. And the House Judiciary Committee voted along party lines this week, reauthorizing the Violence Against Women Act. After Democrats turned back Republican attempts to gut protections of transgender folks and restrict some gun ownership. This is pretty much from an article from the New York Times, Transgender and Gun Rights Are Sticking Points for Violence Against Women Act. The measure will soon head to the full House, but the partisan sparring, particularly over provisions that would require prisons to house transgender people based on the gender they identify with, will continue. That promises to make a once broadly bipartisan law, first passed in the years after the Anita Hill hearings in 91, rancorous. I'm going to depart, actually, for a moment from the text of this article and just say, wow. It is so sad that making sure this law actually protects all femme-identified people makes it rancorous. The once broadly partisan law I'm just going to say this article, in the way it's written, seems like maybe it's the fault of those transgender folks that are just, you know, kind of riling up the Republicans. And I got to say, wow, no, I do not believe this is the case. It is, in fact, Republicans that have absolutely, exaggerated. Yes, exaggerated trans threat. There is a really just amazing quote from Debbie Lesko, who is, a representative from Arizona of the Republican variety. She is extremely misinformed on the matter. And it would be really good if folks could try to help educate Debbie Lesko from Arizona about trans issues and the reality of trans lives. She says that this amendment, oh goodness, multiple amendments offered by Republicans on Wednesday, however, sought to eliminate gender identity and sexual orientation language from the bill, from the act. Representative Debbie Lesko offers an amendment that she says prohibits service providers from putting women and children in situations where they have grounds to fear for a violation of privacy or for his or her safety. Ms. Lesko cited concern that the measure would be, quote, forcing organizations to take men into women's shelters. She said, if this is called the Violence Against Women Act, it's not fair that the government is forcing these organizations to take in biological males to be sleeping right next to biological women. I don't think that's fair to women. Well, Ms. Lesko, you are entirely misinformed. Your ignorance is showing. You should see to that before you open your mouth again. And meanwhile, everyone needs to really get behind the support for the reauthorization of the Violence Against Women Act and to make sure that it is fully inclusive of trans rights. Right, let's go ahead and talk to Michael. The phone number again is 503-231-8187, the number to call. And good morning, Michael. You're on the air.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing all right.
Hey, I wanted to commend you for sharing your story. I could hear by the tone in your voice, you were hurt, and it saddens me to hear this. No kid should be violated. No woman should be violated. I'm a proud father. I have a single son, and I don't think I could ever rest if I knew something happened to my son and he didn't tell me about it, or I didn't know about it, or anything like that, or my wife. I think there's a lot of sick people out there. They can't all get help, but there are different avenues to force yourself on someone or to prey on someone who can't help themselves. My son's 9. I don't even let him walk home from school by himself. We live maybe 4 or 5 blocks away from school. And these are the days that, you know, days and times that we live in. And it is truly sad. I'm saddened by the stories over and over and over again. It's just troubling. I wish more women would speak out. At least let your voice be heard. If you don't think it is going to be beneficial, or you think because a police officer, you know, your voice against a police officer, you're not going to get a fair shake, at least get your story out there. It troubles me when we, like the Sandusky, all these gymnasts come out. These girls have been living with this pain for all their lives, and then their younger sisters go through this pain, and nothing was done about it. Dr. Huxtable, I mean, Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
All these women. And, you know, it's just story after story, and it takes one person to speak out and another person to speak out. And then you have all these people who come out. If you come out and say, hey, this clown was messing with me, he did this to me, he violated me, you might prevent someone else from enduring the same fate.
Yeah. Michael, thank you so much for your call this morning.
All right.
And, you know, I think that is actually, it is so true that speaking out is important, not only for our own psyches and to recognize that we're not alone and that there's actually nothing to be ashamed of in other people's bad behavior, right? That we didn't do anything to bring on the attack or to encourage the attack. That's super important. But also to, you know, there are actually, there are bad date reporting lines. There are, the networks, the grapevines, the informal circles that women inform each other through, in many ways about men who are unsafe to be around. And that has some impact, but again, that only has as much impact as we allow it to, as we look at denial in our families, right? My adopted mom had huge fear of strangers. I was never allowed to walk anywhere alone, you know, until I was really in my late teens. I was, the idea that she didn't want to leave me with just a babysitter. I would always be left with a family member, right? Too bad about the molesters in the family. So it's an interesting thing, the heightened sense of fear, but also at the same time, the sense of denial. And that is an interesting juxtaposition of things. I'm going to encourage you to call on in. We've got about 14 minutes left of the show, and you too can call in and share your story and speak out loud, because in fact, it is such an important thing to do. We are, tied into sexual violence against women. There is the women as property, women as second-class citizens, the femicide of women around the world, but also the whole idea of gender binary, the extremes of gender binariness as normative behaviors, where we have the toxic masculinity on the one end and the absolutely acquiescent and submissive feminine standard on the other end. Those are not healthy extremes. So I have often referred to a book that was written by a woman named Suzanne Farr. And I want to refer to that again in just a moment, but I'm going to give out that number one more time, 503-231-8187. That number to call. Also, you can check us out on Facebook. You can find us on Facebook at Positively Revolting, or in the Twitterverse at Positive Revolt. Suzanne Farr wrote a book called Homophobia as a Weapon of Sexism. And in that book, there is a question, an open-ended question, and several women have answered it. But I want to pose that question to you this morning. What would the world be like without homophobia in it for everyone, male and female, whatever their sexual identity is? And in this book, of course, was written more than 25 years ago. But some of the answers in the book are kids won't be called tomboys or sissies. They'll just be who they are. They'll be able to do whatever they want. Another answer is affection will be opened up between women and women, men and men, and it won't be centered on sex. People won't fear being called names if they show affection to somebody who isn't a mate or a potential mate. Women will be able to work whatever jobs we want without being labeled masculine. There will be less violence if men do not feel that they have to prove and assert their manhood. Their desire to dominate and control will not spill over from personal to the level of national and international politics and the use of bigger and better weapons to control other countries. I think that that's a fascinating question, and I think that if we wanted to sort of move on down the road with that question, what would life be like without that gender binary normative, right? How can we just be fully human? And what does that mean? So looking at living our lives with autonomy, with control of our sexuality, with knowing that we are good enough without buying into a commodified beauty standard that is actually never attainable. These are the things that are really important to being full and empowered people. The revolution actually needs us, right? Because the world's on fire. There is the existential global climate disaster. There is the nuclear threat. There's imperialist wars, right? There are all manner of humanitarian crises. There's the healthcare crisis, right? All of these issues take us in our full energy, in our full passions, in our full capacity as human beings to do everything we can to mitigate the harm and to change the world, to end racism, to end homophobia, to end sexism, right? And how can we do that if we are keeping ourselves so small as women, if we are still in fear that we are not quite good enough because we don't quite know how to get the full smoky eye effect with the four color palette. I've been working on it. It's true. I still don't have it down. You know, and yet I think I can probably contribute to our world as a full human being. How can we get over those daily voices that that tell us that we are not powerful enough, that we are not good enough, that we are in fact alone in our fears, that if we step out of line, we will be attacked, we will be hurt. These are, you know, that message, those little voices that keep us small, have to recede even further. We have to get over them. We can no longer keep ourselves or each other small. And so when I ask what we are doing for each other, how are we showing up for each other? You know, that is truly an important question. How do we support each other and help each other feel heard? I know I myself try to hold space on a radio station. You know, every now and again, we turn the mics on and we say, it's time for your story. Call on in. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. And it would be great to hear from you. We have about 8 minutes left. And it is, again, such an important message to really be inclusive, to fight against any of the rather hateful divisions within women's community about who is in fact defined as a woman, right? That the anti-trans TERF brand of feminism is toxic, is hateful, and is bigoted, and must be called out just as any other part of the patriarchy must be called out. And I would expect to see that continue in the fight for the Violence Against Women Act, and making sure that there is inclusivity for trans people. I want to actually get back to that New York Times article that I was reading from earlier about the reauthorization of the Violence Against Women Act. Representative Gerald Nadler Let me actually move on from Gerald Nadler. Some Democrats noted that transgender people, particularly minorities, suffer from some of the highest rates of violence and sexual assault, and that there has been no issue with transgender people having access to services and to programs under the act. Representative David Cicilline, Democrat of Rhode Island, says that there is no evidence to suggest that placing transgender women in shelters poses any danger to anybody. All it does is ensure that transgender people are safe. Representative Karen Bass, a Democrat of California and a lead sponsor of the Reauthorization Act, offered to visit shelters with Ms. Lesko, that would be the transphobe quoted earlier, in an effort, she said, to better understand the challenges facing transgender people, the transition process, and how they are helped in shelters. The topic was raised again by Representative Louis Gohmert, a Republican of Texas, who objected to the gender identity language in the bill and unsuccessfully moved to remove it. He said that he humbly submits that he thinks that language is going to do more harm. He not so helpfully added, what we're talking about is gender dysphoria. Well, no, in fact, Representative Louis Gohmert, Republican of Texas, that is not what we are talking about. Back to the text. Republicans also raised objections to provisions in the act that would bar people convicted of a violent misdemeanor or subject to a court order from owning firearms, and tried to undo a provision that gave tribal courts the ability to prosecute non-Native Americans who attack Native American women on tribal land. They also sought to add a provision that would ban organizations that perform abortion from receiving federal funding under the act. None of those amendments passed. Gotta say, wow, right? It just always boggles my mind that in the reauthorization for the Violence Against Women Act, there are people who are seeking to restrict abortions through amendments to that act. There's just no level that they will not stoop to. Mr. Nadler promised that one amendment offering protections for female survivors of genital mutilation would be included, but asked that its language be adjusted before a formal vote. Reauthorization of the 1994 law had been in limbo since December when government funding lapsed, and it was not included in the bill that kept the government funded through the end of September. Republicans had argued for a straight extension of existing law through September, but Democrats wanted changes. Without the agreement, the reauthorization lapsed. The current measure unveiled by House Democrats this month would not only reauthorize grants and funding, but would expand protections and resources for survivors as well. The bill would also include protections for victims of stalking and protections for men and children. Yep, there we go. It is happening this week. It is, again, has just the reauthorization for the Violence Against Women Act has just passed the House Judiciary Committee on Wednesday, and now it goes to the full House. Please keep watching that. Keep your eye on that, and make sure that the provisions to protect trans people stay in that, because as noted, trans women, especially trans women of color, have an incredible amount of violence perpetrated against them, being raped and murdered at a phenomenal, horrifying rate. And with that, gosh and golly, my time is just about up. This is, you know, it is a serious issue to come back to again and again, how we teach our sons not to rape, how we teach our daughters to be strong and resilient, how we actually try to overcome a gender binary and move into a world where we can all be fully human, where we can support each other and live our lives out loud. Here is, again, moving forward to smash the patriarchy, to tell our truths, and to support each other. We do not live our lives in quiet isolation. Live our lives out loud and support each other, share with each other, and, you know, create the revolution. It's ours. See you next week.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the live performance of the West Lynn Radio Hour, KWL 1956, on Saturday, March 16th from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Youth Music Project in West Lynn. For the past 3 years, the West Lynn Historical Society has produced the KWL radio show. This year, the reenactment will feature a roundup of the news, West Lynn history on parade, as the Willamette Flow soap opera, and more. Again, that's a live performance of the West Lynn Radio Hour, KWL 1956, on Saturday, March 16th from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Youth Music Project, 2015 8th Avenue in West Lynn. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio, a proud co-sponsor of the Live Cinema Experience 100-Year Plan on Friday, March 15th from 8 to 11 p.m. at Disjecta in Portland. 100-Year Plan is a dystopian response to participating in the producer's economy in the age of automation takeover. This live cinema experience presents a performance of an online video in real life and is produced by Emotional Store. Again, that's 100-Year Plan on Friday, March 15th from 8 to 11 p.m. at Disjecta, 8371 North Interstate Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning. You're listening to KBOO Portland. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. On Friday, it's time for Veterans Voice Radio, coming at you very soon. Today, celebrating International Women's Month of March. At 10 o'clock, Arab Voices speaks with Abed Ayoub about the recent and historic resolution voted on condemning anti-Muslim bigotry. And then we've got the Radio Zine at 11 today, talking to artist duo Emotional.store about their upcoming performance entitled